What's up, everybody? Hope you're feeling good after Thanksgiving. Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast Friday show. Three games of the week in the books. Incredible slate of Thanksgiving games, particularly that one on CBS. It was just incredible to watch, and I hope you watch the entire thing. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host of the CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. This is our signature flagship show, the Picks Podcast, in which, oh my God, breaking news, RJ White and Pete Prisco, we hit a parlay!
That's right.
We did?
We got it pretty easily, too.
I didn't know that.
Jets plus three. Cashed it. We could have reverse pleased that by like 40 points and hit it. Titans minus three. Very casual win. And the Bengals, the Bagels and the Steelers went well under 39. The only reason it ever got in danger was when Duck Hodges came in and tried to give us some problems. Worth noting two things about this particular show. It is not on YouTube. So probably not on YouTube watching it. Don't go looking for it on YouTube. Two. You can go to sportsline.com. RJ White heating up as the leaves come down. Go to sportsline.com/join. Use promo code White and get all of RJ's picks. He may have gone undefeated this week. We'll get to that in a second. The other note, Pete Prisco.
Bad week.
No, I was going to say we got you for the whole show because it's just audio.
Yeah, but I had a bad week though.
Well, that we're going to get to that.
By the way,
we don't put anything up on the screen.
I know we go off on tangents on this show to start. And I want to go off on a little tangent.
Okay.
And I know Will watches this, but I was flicking the channel the other night after the game, and this show was on where these guys are taking bites of pain from these animals. And have you guys seen this?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. The whole gist of the show is something on History Channel or something where something taking pain. They go out and find scorpions in the South African desert, and then they sit there and they let them sting them, and then they gauge the pain. What, and then they got a lionfish, and they had a lionfish sting them and they gauge the pain. What would it take for you guys to go out there and actually allow a scorpion or a lionfish to sting you?
I wouldn't do it. I didn't realize you were leading into a serious question.
It's dead serious.
This is going to be a metaphor for your picks.
No, my picks are – no, that's what I'm getting to is the loser next week has to go out and get stung by a lionfish.
You really entered a dark world when you're like, okay, I know how I can get these – I know how I can get rid of these guys. I'm going to steal week 13 and they'll have to eat like a lionfish.
Well, think about this. If there's that much pressure on the picks, I would do better at them because I don't want to get stung by a lionfish.
Okay. Well, then how about this? If you lose this week, you've got to get,
I'm not getting anything tattooed on me. So don't even try and say it.
All right. If you don't go above 500 this week, you've got to get, Blake Bortles' face tattooed on your butt cheek.
You're crazy. I don't care that much about it, so no. But anyways, Brinson, since I was thinking about you because you're Jacques Cousteau of the deep, that the lionfish are invading. They're an invasive species.
And it's a huge problem. It's a huge problem in the Caribbean.
Have you ever been stung by a lionfish? Yes or no?
Me? No. I've caught lionfish. I've eaten lionfish tacos too.
God, he's weird. He's so weird. All right, let's get to my – I'm trying to deflect from my crappy record, but I was –
standings. We don't put it on the screen, though. You got lucky. We don't have to put it up on the YouTube screen, so that's good for you. I went 6-1 last week, 10-4 against the spread for my full week's picks. Very nice week for me, including 6-1 of my best bets, 44-30-2 on the season. Hi-yay-yay. RJ White also scorching 5-1, now above 500, 37-36. You can feel the RJ push in the super contest coming. You feel it coming, RJ?
He needs a 5-0.
I should have been 5-0 last week, and after the
dumbest
coach in the history of football, Jason Garrett, kicking a field goal when he didn't need a field goal.
Also at the end of that game, they had a chance to,
they didn't get anywhere in at the end of that game. Yeah, they weren't anywhere close to getting anywhere.
You're right.
Yeah.
What was the spread on that game?
6.5. Should have been a 7-point win. Even in the weather, should have been a 7-point win.
Yeah, it's tough to want a 7-point win in that kind of weather. And then Pete Prisco, 1-5, not a great week.
Picks because I didn't actually mind those picks. That's why the Lions. Okay, that could have gone either way, and probably should have.
You might have lost your. Oh no, you know what? Debo leaves him up. I think. Pete's best bets were gone. So I don't know what, let's see, what did you have? You had the, yeah, you had the Lions at the Redskins.
Okay, that could have gone either way, but what, the one of them was, the Jets was the best bet. That was,
yeah, the
bet.
Packers probably, right? Got stomped.
Yeah, yeah, the Eagles minus two at home. That ended up being Eagles plus two at close. That was a problem. All those injuries, I mean, like, look, we did, we recorded. Well,
I mean, Brooks went out before the game. Nobody knew that he wasn't playing.
Yeah, but Lane Johnson was definitely.
But nobody knew Brooks wasn't playing. He's been their best offensive lineman. But okay, go ahead. They weren't winning that game anyways. That was a bad pick.
Lions minus 3.5. That was Packers plus 2.
That was a terrible pick.
Yeah, that was dead. Jags Titans under 41. It looked great at halftime.
Yeah, it did look. It was 7-3 at the half.
Then the Titans scored 28 points in the third quarter, and the Eagles Seahawks over 48. Weather got you on that.
Yeah, weather got me there. So, look, it is what it is.
You're I really do think you're due to have a couple weeks.
I'm due to have a couple weeks. I was 4-10 against the spread on our experts page. It was just a bad week. It's been a bad year.
I think this week, if I'm opposite you with any of my best bets, I'm just going to scratch them off and not playing in the contest because you're pretty due at this point.
I don't know. I'm a mush.
Well, let's get into the games. Packers at the Giants. Packers minus 6.5. The over under 45.5. Pete, I'll go to you. You've got something here. You're not going to lay major points with Aaron Rodgers. Instead, you like a total on this game, don't you?
I think it's going over. I the Giants are the perfect tonic for an ailing offense in Green Bay, and I do think they do score points. And I think when I look at the Packers defense, it's kind of fallen off a lot, and I'm surprised that it has. But I think there's going to be opportunity for the Giants to get points here as well. I do think this one goes roaring over the total. I think there's going to be a ton of points. It'll provide the weather's okay, but I think it's going to go over.
Yeah, I don't mind the over either. The defense hasn't played well. They should be able to get turnovers against the Giants. The Giants offense is the worst in the league with their turnover percentage. I think the Giants' only shot in this game is running all over Green Bay's defense, which has been very suspect against the run. But if they fall behind, there's not going to be a backdoor cover because Daniel Jones ain't throwing it on that secondary. So Green Bay does know how to rebound from a loss. They're 34-23-1 against the spread after a loss since 2009, which was Rodgers' second year. This is too public for me to play against the spread. The 89% of the people on the Packers right now. I would lean that way, but I'm not going to back that much of a public play. So I'm going to stay away, but yeah, my lean would probably be to the Packers and lean to the over.
Yeah, I picked the Packers in my picks league initially, and you know, you got to put it in the bets before, you got to put it in all your picks before Thanksgiving. And I think I picked the Packers in our expert picks. I would say this, the one thing that worries me a little bit is that we heard the Packers and Matt LaFleur and everybody came out this week and said that they think they really need to feed Aaron Jones.
Oops.
And I don't disagree with it. You know, we talked about that. I talked about that somewhere. Maybe it was on Bill Barnwell's podcast with, I did Bill's podcast on Monday, but the, my good friend Bill.
Is there not a show where you don't mention his name on anymore? Seriously. Like every him. Single show we're on, whether it's a podcast or on HQ or whatever, you mention his name.
I was crediting the Carson Wentz stat that he had that was worthwhile. And I told you I was on the podcast with him. So anyway, it makes sense to go with Aaron Jones. The problem is, if you want to beat the Giants, you need to throw on the Giants. And so, like, this is the game where it makes sense to just open it up and cut Davante Adams loose, right? That's my only concern is that the Packers might stubbornly try to run the football, might not encounter success. Maybe the Giants get a turnover. I don't know. There's something a little fishy
about
this.
What about the fact that the Packers have gotten away from throwing Aaron Jones? That makes no sense to me. Since Davante Adams has come back, they haven't thrown the ball to Aaron Jones. You know what it's looking like? It looks like the Packers offense of old. Stale, what? Not creative, not thrown to the backs anymore.
Well, they throw to Jamal Williams. It's like they get predictable. When he gets out there, you know it could be a prime.
But they need to get – remember when they're getting Jones split out and running him up the field? They haven't done that anymore. They need to start getting creative again.
What would 90% chance of heavy rain, 47 degrees, and 10 miles an hour wind – due to your prediction of the over or the Packers in this game, guys?
It's like a balmy day in Green Bay. It doesn't do anything as long as it's not that bad.
I wouldn't play the over in that kind of game.
How windy?
10 miles an hour.
That's not that bad.
That's not that bad.
15 is the number you got to worry about.
Yeah, it's not that bad. Okay. Still going over.
Yeah, look, we record this on Wednesday. Happy Thanksgiving. By the way, my wife texted me as we're recording. She says, I was like, apparently the dog jumped out of the car on the way down. And then she said, it's bad here. She's at my in-laws. It's bad here.
What, wait, you're not trekking around North Carolina like a normal Wednesday of Thanksgiving?
It's one stop. Just one stop this year. Back home tomorrow to work. You need me, Pete. Just call me. I'm happy to pop on video.
Oh, I'll be with you. I'll be in there tomorrow too, buddy.
Anyway, yeah, I would. So what my point was that the forecast could change, but I would be a little wary of that over. I think, and I might lean towards the Giants. Maybe the Packers blow them out. I don't know. This is one of the tougher games to predict because, sure, like the Packers should throttle them, but the Packers just, I don't know.
If that game in San Francisco was a lot closer than what it was, I would say that the Giants might be a play here, but I think the Packers will be focused here because after what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Redskins at the Panthers. This is a stink bomb of a game. Nobody's going to be there. The Panthers lost at the last second to the Saints. The Redskins actually picked up a win. The Panthers are minus 10. The over-under is 40. RJ, any thoughts on this lovely game?
Yeah, I think you'd be able to get the Panthers at 9.5, and I would play it at 9.5. Washington's just so bad. They're 32nd in points per drive, 32nd in offensive DVOA. They have scored an offensive touchdown in just one of their last five games. They won last week, but they didn't get an offensive touchdown there. Carolina's D hasn't played well, particularly against the run. We know Washington wants to do that, but I don't think it really matters because Washington just ain't scoring points. Carolina's slump, because they've looked bad lately, has been included games at San Francisco, at Green Bay, at New Orleans. There's not a lot of teams that's going to look good in that situation. So I don't think they're as bad as they looked recently. My lean would be Panthers if you can get them at minus 9.5. My lean would be the under 40 because Washington just doesn't score points. I would even look at Washington team total under 15 because, like I said, they just don't score any touchdowns. So it could be another 9-point or 12-point game from them.
I think this is a Panthers game. Dwayne Haskins is stepping up in competition. You mentioned it, how Panthers have struggled. But they played well last week against New Orleans. Probably should have won the game. If the field goal kicker makes the kick, they probably win the game or at least go to overtime. I think when you look at this Redskins team, get after the quarterback because Haskins holds the ball forever. I think they will get after him. I'd lay the points. I don't love it, but I would lay the points.
I would take the Redskins in this spot. I think the Panthers are going to have a rough emotional come down from that loss against the Saints. I know Washington is not good, but their defense can sort of limit what Carolina does well. And the other thing too, I think, you know, we talk about the weather. And again, you know, this is what you need to watch for as it gets closer to the weekend, depending on totals and what the wind is. But it's looking right now like 90% chance of rain on Sunday, in North Carolina, in Charlotte. Now that trickles off a little bit. It's going to be a little less rainy, but the wind is at 13 miles an hour. So if for any reason that cranks up a lot, I would love this under. Because I don't think Carolina is going to put up a ton of points against a Redskins team that is perfectly fine methodically running the football. And 40 points is just too high if the wind ends up being bad and ends up being a sloppy track in there. So I would take the Redskins as sort of a correlated, you know, plus 10 and under 40 situation where, you know, I mean, doesn't that seem like it's correlated, RJ? Am I crazy there?
Yeah, but Washington doesn't score points. So, I mean.
Yeah, what are you going to get out of it? What are you going to get?
27-9 still hits the under. Yeah. And it's an easy cover for Carolina.
Why is Carolina going to score 27 points?
Well, they scored 31 on New Orleans last week.
20-9. Like it's.
They scored 31 on New Orleans last week.
Okay. I mean, all right. You know, last week, this week, same thing. I just think that it's too much. It's too much. The Panthers are going to be sapped emotionally.
Make the Redskins one of your best bets.
No, I'm not going to do that. The Redskins.
I want to go down the toilet.
I like the under in this game. I would lean to the under and I would actually take it. I would probably jump on it now. I would maybe wait till after Thanksgiving. See how you're doing your Thanksgiving games. If you're up after Thanksgiving, go ahead and jump on that under at 40 if the weather's looking like it's going to be bad. I just don't think there's going to be a lot of points in this game between two offenses that are perfectly fine being methodical. Like Carolina, it's down to 39 already. So if you want that under, you better go ahead and take it. Redskins under 14.5 is not terrible either. Panthers could stop them from scoring 14.5 points. Don't watch this game. 49ers at the Ravens. Ravens -6, over under 46. Pete, I'm glad that you finally came around to the Ravens are the best team in the history of football. Lamar Jackson, Hall of Famer, MVP winner.
That's the way it was on, the game on, what was that, Monday? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my God, you would have thought that they were the greatest football team in the history of mankind.
I mean, every single drive they're scoring a touchdown. It's pretty impressive stuff. And then look at the drive chart on there. It just says touchdown, 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 touchdown.
I agree. They ran the ball.
It's easy to be.
The holes, it's amazing. But what gets lost is how well the offensive line played in that game. Mm-hmm. Did you see the one run? It was like you could have driven two trucks through it. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And where was Aaron Donald in that game? They just totally
getting
dominated.
Double teamed.
Yeah, dominated. But usually he handles that. They dominated him. It's a good team. It's a good football team. And it's getting better because the young players are getting better. That's why. That's in large part why they're getting better. And Jackson's good. He's really good. somebody's got to figure out a way to defend him. I haven't gone back and done this yet. I watched it once, but I'm going to go back and do this and watch the Steelers because he threw three picks in that game. Yeah. And what did they do differently than everybody else did? That's what I want to look at.
Well, he didn't really, you know, run up the score on Cincy either, and they had played him last year as well. So it just seems like you get another look at him. It's going to be interesting to see when they play.
And Cleveland got him.
When they play New England in the playoffs, right. You know, what New England has for him.
He's improved greatly as a pocket passer, but I got to give a lot of credit to Greg Roman. Mm-hmm. Those throws he made the other night, there isn't a quarterback alive that wouldn't have been able to make those throws. The one he threw in the blitz in his face to Mark Ingram, I think it was, in the middle of the field, that was a great play. But like the one that Marquise Brown to open the game. By the way, thank you, Marquise. You won my FFT league for me and my game, and I'm now in the playoffs. Brinson, you in the playoffs in that league?
I'm not.
There you go.
I got bad luck the last 5 weeks. I had like good scores and lost the big scores. It sucks.
But you know, and then the one he threw to Willie Snead on the their little boot outside, easy throw. They make him easy. They made it easy for him. He's improved greatly as a pocket passer because he works at it and he's a great kid, but they make it easy on him.
Yeah, well, I disagree that every quarterback can make that throw because I've seen some bad quarterback plays that are missing.
Well, the most good ones. Most good ones.
But most of the solid, yeah, and it's everything coming together. He's playing well. He's worked hard. He's improved his game.
He's a great kid.
Great coaching staff, great offensive line, and now the defense. Defense has become elite. 5 touchdowns allowed in their last 5 games. San Francisco offense has gotten a beat up on some bad defenses, ranked just 11th in DVOA, so I don't know that they're as good offensively as they've shown. In this matchup, Ravens -6. I mean, you could probably get 5.5. I see Westgate has 5.5 up. You know, I think either play the Ravens or stay away. There's no point in going against them. My lean would be the Ravens, but
my lean is the Ravens.
Power rating says it's a little bit too high, so I'm probably not going to play it in the Super Contest. But you know, it could be a matchup issue too for the San Francisco defense. Kyler Murray ran up and down the field on him,
right?
And this is obviously a better version of Kyler Murray here. So you could see that San Francisco defense giving up a little bit more points than we're used to. Maybe look at that Baltimore team total over. Should be around 26, maybe 26.5, because Ravens just look unstoppable offensively right now.
I think both Cardinals games that the 49ers had, and they won both. And yes, Kyler Murray did run and play really well, and Kyler Murray's awesome. Don't get me wrong. I think the first one was a look ahead for the Seahawks game, and I thought the second one was a look ahead for the Packers game. So I don't know that I'm going to read that much into it. Now, Russell Wilson, mobile quarterback, did pretty well. I'm making the 49ers a best bet. This line is I'm going to fade the Ravens for the second week in a row. This line is too high. It's six points. The 49ers are a really good football team. They can run the ball effectively. They got a much better defensive line than what the Rams have. You know, they can put pressure on Lamar Jackson and approach this defense. I think they can approach this a different way than what we saw from other, what we saw from the Rams, who needed Aaron Donald to get interior penetration in order to get after Lamar Jackson. They have the pressure that they can get onto him. He's taken some big hits lately. I would be a little worried about that if I was Baltimore, him not getting out of the way of these hits. They have the secondary to sort of work on those receivers. They, you know, the Rams got chess match. I mean, they put Jalen Ramsey on Mark Andrews, and then the Ravens went to Marquise Brown. I think there's enough weapons in that 49ers secondary where they don't have to do that. And then when you look at the running game for the 49ers, they'll be successful against the Ravens, whereas the Rams won't. So I'm taking the 49ers plus the 6 here as one of my best bets. Can't wait to keep stepping in front of the old Lamar Jackson hype wagon.
Let us know how it works out.
I will. It'll lose. Don't worry. Titans at the Colts. Colts -3, over under 43.5. Pete, you got a best bet here, aren't you? You riding that.
I'm riding the Derrick Henry train. That's what I'm doing. He's going to run, and run some more. And Ryan Tannehill's playing good football. I can't believe that came out of my mouth, but it's accurate, and he looks good. He's running with the football a little bit, 30-something yards a game. He's getting outside the pocket. And I just don't like where the Colts are throwing the football right now. And T.Y. Hilton's iffy with the – he's going to play, but he's iffy with the calf. I'm still concerned about that. I think the Colts, they've run the ball very well. Don't get me wrong. I think they've run it well. Probably should have run it when they got the ball back at one point through 3 straight passes last week in a game, which was a bad decision by Frank Reich and gang. But I think the Titans are going to go up there and win. Titans are lethal, man. They can, they're tough, physical, and they will knock you around. They're dangerous in that division right now.
You switch to Tannehill, and Tannehill's look great. I'm not going to talk about bad about him at all. It coincides with the stretch where they've had a ton of home games. They got four of their last five have been at home. So I worry about them going on the road. Their one run game they had, they lost 30-20 at Carolina. And Carolina, as we said, you know, Carolina looked great early in the year. Then Kyle Allen started screwing some things up. They still couldn't beat them. They, you know, lost by 10 there. So I think it's going to be a close game. I think you can get 2.5 if you like the Colts. And if you, I did get 2.5, I would play the Colts here. Indy ran all over Tennessee in that road win earlier in the year. Run game was successful without Mack last week. So even without him, it can have success with that offensive line. I like backing Frank Reich with extra time. We think he's a great coach. You know, I think jury's still out on Mike Vrabel. That the offense has played obviously much better with Tannehill. So we'll see. It could be a little bit of a higher scoring game, but I think Colts have what it takes to get it done at 2.5. I would stay away from it at 3.
I think part of my concern with this game, and I'm with you, Pete, I like the Titans a lot here. And it's almost a little too obvious. Does that concern you at all? Like, the Titans are just playing better. They're a better defense. Where are the Colts better than the Titans? I would give you Frank Reich over.
Well, their offensive line's better.
The Colts, yeah.
Yeah.
Titans offensive line has been good, though.
It's been better, but it's still not as good as the Colts.
It's not as good as the Colts. That's fine. All right. They're better on the offensive line. But the Colts defense is not great. You can run on them. I mean, you can pass on them. And Ryan Tannehill's playing like a, he's
playing. Some of those younger players on that secondary are getting better for the Colts. I'm not going to sit here and pan their defense or anything. I do think that the Titans are playing better and I think they're going to be able to. Brissett looks limited to me the last couple of weeks. They haven't been the same guy.
He looks injured.
He does look injured.
And a little bit of a extra time to rest. And the problem with the Colts defense is they haven't all been healthy together. You know, it's been a lot of like this guy's injured, then that guy's injured. They looked good last week against Houston. You know, they slowed down a good Houston offense. I think 20 points is right. That's what they gave up. In Houston, that game was in Houston. So, I mean, that's pretty good. So,
I think they're getting better on the defense, but I think the Titans are the play here for me.
Okay. I came close to making the best bet, but RJ's leaning there. I'll leave it alone. I like the Titans as well. Eagles -9.5 at the Dolphins, over under 45. When this line came out at Dolphins +8, and then there was like news that Carson Wentz was having his hand evaluated. I was like, better bet the Dolphins. You get a little window. Now I've got a reverse window staring at me. So I'm sort of in my own head on this. I think I'm just going to keep riding the Dolphins +9.5 just because it's a bigger line. But I'm petrified because the Eagles in theory should be able to pound the ball down their throat. With a physical run game. If Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks are back, I would probably flip and go Philly here. Do you agree or disagree, Pete?
I agree on Philly. I last week was one of those situations where they didn't have the receivers. They're supposed to be back, both of them. They didn't have the right side of the offensive line. Diller was bad when he played at right tackle. They replaced him. Brooks wasn't there. And it just looked bad. The defense is getting better, though. And that's one thing we talked about. They did a nice job on Russell Wilson. They had the one play they popped out for a big gain on with Penny. But other than that, they did a good job on Russell Wilson. They hit him, and they got after him. So I think they come down here with the idea that their schedule's favorable. Even though they're a game behind the Cowboys, I still think they're going to win the division because of that schedule. They blow out the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think the line's too high. I don't think there's value on Philly, but I would, you know, either play Philly or stay away. You just cannot back the Dolphins right now with how they've completely regressed over the last few weeks. That offense has been beat up. They'll get healthier at receiver. They cut Jordan Matthews coming right out of that game, so they knew they were getting guys back. It wasn't any type of question. Lane Johnson, I think, should be back too. I think he said on Tuesday that he expected to be back for this game. So we'll see how the injury report goes there. And then at that point, they should roll. You know, they once won't even have to throw with that injured hand. They'll just run the ball, all over Miami, and that defense, which has been playing really well, had that great game against Seattle despite the offensive issues, will step up and beat up on Miami. Miami's defense is truly terrible. They're last in DVOA by a mile. They're last in scoring percentage, you know, drives it in a score, last in turnover percentage. They just don't do anything. So even the Eagles can run up the score on this team. So I would take the Eagles or nothing. 9.5. If you can get 9.5, I'd still probably take that. Probably look to tease it down. It's probably a smarter option to get them down to 3.5 just in case, but Eagles or nothing.
Okay. Yeah. Scary game for Debo. Don't want to lose this one. Lose this one and you got trouble in your hands. Raiders and the Chiefs. Chiefs -9.5. Over under 51. Pete, what do you think about this game?
I think this is blowout city, and I do think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think the Raiders are playing consecutive road games. I don't think they're very good. They were terrible on offense last week against the Jets. Now, the Chiefs' defense isn't great. But when I look at this game, I think Mahomes, they've been rested. It's a bye week. It's a perfect storm. You got a team coming off a bye against a team that's playing consecutive road games. Their defense isn't very good. They made Darnold look very good. They're going to make Mahomes look like Mahomes again. I think the Chiefs blow them out, and I think the game goes way over the total.
I would lean to both those spots, too. Lean to the Chiefs, -9.5. Lean to the over. Kansas City has the number 2 pass offense per DVOA. They can throw all over number 30 pass defense of Oakland. Oakland loves to run the ball. KC defense ranks 30th in run DVOA, 31st in yards per carry. So as long as they don't get blown out too badly, I think they'll be able to stick to the run and get up some points on the Chiefs, too. I do worry about Oakland's offense disappearing after the last few weeks. So that would be the only thing that worried me about the over. I do think the Chiefs are probably – a good play. You know, it's not a great teasable number at 9.5, but, you know, if you want to tease, do a 10-point tease, if you can find a 10-point tease and get three teams there. I know Will's got a three-teamer working with involving the Chiefs as well, so, or a money line parlay involving the Chiefs.
Well, Azra, I hope it's still alive, because we record this before Thanksgiving, but, and I mentioned it on the podcast, and I had some DMs who were like, you should add the Jets in there as well, and it really boosts the parlay. And I don't disagree with that, but I want big favorites in this spot. I got Cowboys, Saints, plus the Chiefs in a money line parlay that's plus 112. So that's pretty good value right there, I think. Great stat, courtesy of Trey Wingo, who got it from Jack Del Rio, former Raiders coach and longtime nemesis of Pete Prisco, turned friend now.
No, we're fine.
No, I know, but
we were never nemesis. We had a misunderstanding.
Friendly banter. Now he played blackjack with us at the combine.
I love Jack. One of my favorite guys.
This is the tweet from Trey Wingo of ESPN. So Coach Del Rio knows what he speaks of. Said Derek Carr doesn't like cold weather games. In games where temperature is under 40 degrees at kickoff, here are Derek Carr's numbers: 0-for-4, 152 pass yards per game, 51% completion percentage, 3-4 touchdowns, interceptions, 9 total QBR. It's expected to be in the 30s in Arrowhead on Sunday.
You know what that means? Del Rio's getting blocked by one of the Carr brothers.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm sure he's already blocked. But I'm blocked by all. I think I'm blocked by all three now. You know what else is a trend in this game? There's a little song about it. Andy Reid off the bye. Andy Reid off the bye. It's more fun when Costas does it with me. Oh well. You guys suck.
It was great for a while, and now it's kind of spotty. Since in his Chiefs tenure, it's probably 3-3, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, it's not as good since he got to the Chiefs, but I don't care. They're gonna bloodbath the Raiders here. I love the Chiefs in this spot. I hope it'll come down. I don't think it'll. Do you think it'll go up into the teens?
Yeah, I think it was it popped to 10 at earlier on Wednesday. You know,
you think it's going higher than that?
It probably won't go any higher than 10, but who knows? I mean, the ticket counts are already split 50-50 basically, so it would take a lot of sharp money, but you know, it's already 10. Oakland had a good stretch there for a few weeks. I can't see it going too much higher than this.
No, I don't either. I think the Chiefs are going to handle them, and I think it's going way over.
I think so too.
So is that a parlay game?
Will you take the Chiefs, RJ?
At 9.5, yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. All right. Put it in.
Would you take the Chiefs at,
Well, we have it. We're locking it in at our number.
Well, no, I know that, but I want to make sure that we would take it at 10 because.
I would take it at 10.
Okay.
Not for the best bet, but.
No, but you would take it.
Right. It is currently 10. So yeah, if you're going to put this in the parlay, buy it down from 10 to 9.
The Chiefs are one of my best bets, period. So yeah. I put it in at 10 too.
The one thing I would say too, Pete, on the the over, you could consider this. You don't have to do it. You didn't have the over as a best bet, right?
No.
If you like the over in this game, what I would tell you to do is to take the Chiefs team total over at 31 instead of taking the full game over. I mean, look, I hammered the Jets Raiders over last week, and that should have hit. And it didn't because the Raiders scored 3 points. That would be my only concern is that the Raiders, I think you'll get 35 out of the Chiefs in this.
But the Chiefs defense stinks too.
Yeah, it does, but the Raiders, just saying. Okay. So Chiefs is the first leg in our parlay. Bucks at Jags. Jags -1.5 over under 48.5. Pete, how do you think the Jags will look after being humiliated in Tennessee, and then getting a pep talk from your man, Tom Coughlin?
He didn't get a pep talk. He gave the fans a pep talk. Did you hear it? It was garbage. He gave the fans a pep talk. Because the fans are angry with guys like Nick Foles, who lose games and come in after the game and talk about building a culture. They've had four winning seasons in 20 years. The culture stinks. How about that? They're angry with Minshew sitting down, which might have been a mistake after all, although he wasn't playing that well in the end either. But this thing is coming unraveled. The defense is awful. Miles Jack got a $15 million contract, can't tackle anybody. The safeties are bad. Calais Campbell's playing too many plays. Jameis Winston will go in there and light them up. I think Jacksonville will score some points, though, because Tampa's defense, although they played better last week, I would lean to the over, and Tampa don't love either one of them.
My best bet's going to be the over, over 48.5. Cashed 9 straight times in Bucs games, 3 of the last 4 for Jacksonville. I could see the game going basically any way as far as the spread. Either team could win by 20. But I would lean to the Jags. The public is all over the Bucs after they beat the Falcons of all teams. You know, it's not like they went in and they upset San Francisco or something. The look-ahead line was Jags minus 3.5. As of Wednesday afternoon, it steamed all the way to Tampa Bay minus 1. Now the Jags are home dogs. And Tampa just hasn't been that impressive. I think there's good value on Jacksonville as dogs here, but they're atrocious versus the NFC. Pete probably knows this better than anyone. When it comes to playing NFC teams, they're actually the worst. I think Atlanta's the worst team in the league since 2017, but they're second worst at 2-8 against the spread. And then if you go back, you know, even longer term than that, they are the worst team in the league, you know, going back 10 years or so. So I would still go with the Jags just because this line is so inflated toward Tampa, and I do think the Jags are going to win. But better bet is over. That's my best bet right now.
I also have the over. Do I have the over as the best bet? Yeah, I have the over and the Buccaneers as the best bet. I put the Bucs in at +1. Fun fact. Great stat out here that I dug into. I don't think you've heard anybody else. I haven't even tweeted out. I mentioned it in my picks column that's up on the site, though. Teams that have given up 100 rushing yards to Derrick Henry are 1-5 straight up the next week. In other words, the theory working here, and if you look at the numbers, these teams gave up crazy offensive numbers to the team they played next week. The working theory here is that when you have to tackle Derrick Henry for 60 minutes, it grinds you down because he's a big, bad dude who pounds people. And I think
they didn't tackle him last week. They did not worry about it.
Exactly, but like, remember, he ripped their soul out last year, and they didn't. Did they win again after they lost to Derrick Henry?
They quit that day. Yeah, they quit. That theory plays, I think, usually, but last week they didn't touch him, so it doesn't really matter.
I'm just saying, I think they quit. Like, I'm gonna fade the Jaguars here in this spot because Tampa will throw all over them. Jameis will put up some numbers. It's in Florida, so it's an away game, but not really. I like the over in this spot because I think
there's probably gonna be 45 people in the stands.
This is the Nick Foles 4 touchdown game. Yeah. While you're playing that,
it might be. That's why the over is a good play.
Yeah. All right. Pete, you want to get in on the over?
Yeah, I'll get in if you want to throw it on the best bet.
All right, Chiefs and Buccaneers over.
Or parlay, I mean.
Half.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's move on. Jets minus 3.5 at the Bengals. And I got the Bucs as the best bet, but nobody else does. Jets minus 3.5 at Bengals over under 41. Ooh, this is getting a little scary for me. Pete, what you got?
I got a best bet here. I like the under in this game. And most people will disagree with me. I just think that when I look at these two teams, I know Andy Dalton's back in. They'll probably be better on offense than with Ryan Finley. I just think the Jets defense is playing better, and I think the Bengals have trouble stopping the run, obviously, and I think they'll run the football. Jamie Eisenberg loves Sam Darnold this week as his start of the week, so I'm probably bucking his little trend there. I do like Darnold. I just don't think this game's going to get a lot of points. So I'd say Jets will win the game 21-13, something like that.
Yeah, Cincy D's played better the last few weeks. On the year, they ranked fourth in red zone percentage, so that would help Darnold not throwing a lot of touchdowns and the game coming under. New York D's fifth in DVOA overall, but just 29th in red zone D, 25th in third down percentage. So that situational football makes the Bengals a best bet for me again. I'm still going with the Bengals. Throwing Andy Dalton in there, the line moved to half a point. Andy Dalton is worth way more than a half point versus Ryan Finley. Finley looked completely lost in, you know, in his first few weeks under there. I sweated that cover last week. I can't wait to do it again here. Jets have been on a roll, scoring 34 points every game. They're not going to score 34 points every single game all the way through here. Bengals desperate for the win, for a win and not go winless. That's what that Dalton move's about. They weren't great in the first half with Dalton, but they were better than this product that they've thrown out there. So run game's gotten going the last few weeks. And then you throw Dalton into the mix. The offense is going to be a little better than people think. At home, you know, it's going to be a 3-point loss at worst. So best bet, Bengals plus 3.5.
That scares me because I have Jets as the best bet.
Well, you can be opposite of them. You don't have to follow and copy his paper. You can be a man and do your own picks.
I think I've done pretty well doing my own picks this week.
Okay. All right.
This is the week it goes rotten.
No, I don't think so. I'm just going to call my own rotten every week.
I will say that I put the Jets in minus 3. I'm sort of standing by my guns here. I'll be honest. Look, like I put the Jets in minus 3 on Sunday night and Monday morning it had moved to 4.5. Our podcast czar, Eric K, EK, was like, what do you like this week? I was like, I love the Jets, minus 3, might move. And he was like, he's like, well, I'm a little worried they might start Andy Dalton. I was like, they're not doing that. They're done with Dalton. They're never bringing Dalton back. And like, literally 5 minutes later, we get an alert. It's like, Andy Dalton will start for the Bengals again. And I thought the line would be like, Jets minus 1 or maybe even a pick. Cause I mean, Dalton is a substantially better quarterback. I still think though that the Jets are the better team here. I kind of like getting down with your under here. The weather, it's supposed to be really nasty in Cincinnati, on Saturday. It's supposed to rain all day. And then Sunday, it's supposed to rain all until the morning. It's going to lighten up a little bit and then rain again later in the afternoon. 15 miles per hour wind, 50 degrees, low of 35. So I think there's a potential for an under here, especially if the Jets kind of get in there and grind with Le'Veon Bell. I think he could have a big game. And I don't know. I'm still going to ride the Jets. Don't love laying road chalk with Andy Dalton coming back. Feels like it's going to blow up in my face. But I will take the Jets here. Rams at Cardinals. Cardinals minus 3 over. That's not right. Cardinals plus 3. Rams minus 3 in this game, I believe. Right, RJ?
Correct.
Yeah. Rams minus 3 at Cardinals. Over under 47.5. Pete, you like
I got two best bets in this game.
Ooh,
spicy. I got the Cardinals plus the points. I think the Rams are packing it in. They're done. I know Sean McVay said something after the game the other night that I thought was very interesting, which is you can't allow yourself to lose two games in one night. Good luck with that because they lost two games in one night. They're not going to bounce back here. They're not. This is Cardinals coming off a bye. They're rested. That's a big advantage. And I think Murray in that offense is playing well. The Rams defense to me isn't very good right now. So I'm taking the Cardinals plus the points, but I love the over. I think there's going to be a ton of points in this game.
Yeah, I don't blame you for getting messed up with not knowing who was favored in this game because I have no idea how this line is Rams minus 3. It just makes zero sense with how they've looked. Their offense looks broken. Sure, they could rebound against a bad Cardinals defense, but even so, you know, weighted DVOA has Arizona as the slightly better team. So if you're making this line with DVOA on a neutral field, you'd make pick 'em at worst and maybe Arizona slightly favored. Throw in Arizona's home field, you know, they should be favored by a couple points. So there isn't that big a gap between these two teams. I would make the line Arizona minus 1. Arizona's on a 5-1-1 against the spread run that's basically 6-1. They pushed on that garbage San Francisco touchdown at the end of the game. So they're playing really well. Arizona D had no answer for a mobile quarterback on Monday night. You know, they're not going to get that fixed in six days. So I do like the rest disparity, like Pete said. Rams coming off a brutal Monday night performance. I don't see how they get their act together here. Cardinals are going to go and win this game. Cardinals plus 3 is the best bet. Definitely sprinkle some on the money line as well.
Throw it in the parlay because I like the Cardinals a lot, and I was just worried that it was too obvious. That's my only concern. It's like people saw the Rams get slaughtered. Aren't they like clearly going to be on the Cardinals?
You would think, but the public is only 62% on the Cardinals right now, which is obviously a lean, but it's not like, you know, some of these. We're seeing 80-85% on some of these games, so it's not like they're completely all over them.
It is a split across the 50% marker there. Like 52% of the money is on the Rams, but then the line is coming down. It was 3.5 to open and probably even more on the look at. I mean – The only thing I would be concerned about is that, well, see, here's the other thing too with the Rams. Like, are the Rams going to let Jared Goff throw? Because the Cardinals have get pressure. I mean, Chandler Jones has been getting pressure all year long. I mean, they'll get after you. And if the Rams try to run, you can't really run that well against the Cardinals. Like, they've got a decent rush defense. You need to air it out and throw against their secondary, and you can light them up. So I think they'll probably try and hashtag establish the run, and it could backfire for the Rams pretty badly. So let's go throw the Cardinals in there as a best bet. Chargers -2.5 at the Broncos, over under 38.5. Fire this game into the sun, Pete. I don't want to see anything about it.
I don't like the game either. I'll be honest with you. I don't have it as one of my best bets, but I would lean to the Chargers. But Drew Locke's probably might now. You're steering rumblings. He's going to start this game.
They were splitting work in practice,
and he got the first rep today, so he's probably going to start. That's not a good way to start your career against that pass rush. I think it's going to be problematic. I would take the Chargers. I don't love it.
I would take the Broncos. You know, you should be able to get +3. I believe it has come up to 3 in some places as of Wednesday. Under 38.5 is probably the better bet. These two have been two under teams all year, combined 15-7 to the under. Broncos offense looked abysmal versus Buffalo. I think they'll run as much as possible in this game against the Chargers. Rivers, you figure, would be better coming out of the bye, but Denver's defense is 12th in DVOA and 7th in points per drive. Denver's defense is 2nd in red zone percentage, so that's going to help keep this game under, because they're not going to let the Chargers score a lot of touchdowns when they are in the red zone. So I would lean to the Broncos. The look ahead line was, I believe, Broncos -1.5, and it swung 4 points just because they look so bad at Buffalo, but they're not that different of a team. We kind of knew what they were going into that game. So why is the line swinging so much?
Yeah, I'd go Broncos here if I had to pick it. The only reason I would change that would be the Drew Lock factor. So obviously keep an eye on that. I do think you put Drew Lock in there and that could get ugly quickly. I wouldn't imagine you would do it, but maybe they will. Browns -2 at Steelers, over under 39.5. How many over under 2.5 fights in this game, Pete?
I'll take the over. Now, it won't be any swinging helmet fights, but it'll be. Let's not forget the earlier hits in that game. I mean, Deontay Johnson had blood coming out of his ear. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster got sent into orbit. I mean, it was fouled, and I think it's going to be fouled going back the other way this week. I would lean to the Steelers. I even though Duck Hodges is playing, I think he's a step up from Mason Rudolph. And I do think the Steelers' defense is going to be at play here. The Browns will have problems moving the football on them in this one. I would lean to the Steelers. In fact, that's one of my best bets. I would take the Steelers -2.
Yeah, we want to talk about, you know, I said earlier, this line doesn't make any sense with the Rams game. This might be the dumbest line I've seen in this whole, you know, season. This is the ultimate revenge spot for Pittsburgh. How are they not going to come out ready to beat up the Browns after what happened at the end of that game? That game wasn't it like Steelers -3 was the line?
Yeah.
Or Browns -3 at home?
Browns.
So why wouldn't Steelers be -3 at this? Right. Are they that much different after the Browns whooped up on Dolphins, which is the worst team in the league? Cleveland feels like they're running in the form. The offense really only played well against that Dolphins game. I think they had 19 against Buffalo, 20 in the game after that. It's not like they're running up the score on everyone, a la the Jets or something. The Pittsburgh offense found success in the run game last week. That's how you beat the Cleveland defense, is by running on them. Hodges brings mobility to the quarterback position. It's going to be harder for them to defend than it was against, you know, Mason Rudolph, the scarecrow, sitting back there getting shot after shot. And Cleveland's trouble with discipline is going to be an issue in an emotional game. They've had a lot of dumb flags this season. They're going to have a lot of dumb flags here because it's this rematch with this team that they had a brawl with at the end of the game. And then Pittsburgh has played above expectations this year since Ben went out. They're 7-2 against the spread. They're going to feast off of this spot, being home dogs, being disrespected. They're not going to let the Browns come in and sweep them on the season, win in Pittsburgh. It's just not happening. Steelers win this game running away. Best bet.
Best bet.
Cool. Cool narrative. You guys are backing Duck Hodges. Enjoy that. Have fun with that. We're going to see a bunch of Steelers sit. Yeah, they'll come out fiery. Doesn't matter. This is the Browns Super Bowl right here. They win this game. They can end up making a run to the playoffs and potentially even making the playoffs. I'm not even joking. I think it's going to happen. Love the Browns in the spot. Liked him as a pick.
Still like your Super Bowl pick?
I would no fade the Steelers.
Okay.
I got the Browns as the best bet. I think Baker goes off. Let's get to Vikings Seahawks, because Pete has to go and he has the best bet in this game.
I do. I am playing the Russell Wilson against Kirk Cousins in a big game card. Ready? Kirk Cousins will have all kinds of problems. I think the Seattle defense is getting better. I think the pass rush is getting better. And I do believe that Kirk Cousins in big road game, I know he beat Dallas, is going to revert to being himself. I'll take Russell Wilson. Give me the Seahawks -3. I'm scared of the line. The line looks funky.
Yeah, I think he's shaking off a lot of that stigma, but Minnesota's just one and three against spread in their last four, so it's not like they're playing great. They're not playing up to expectations. Seahawks live for this kind of spot. 21-7-2 against the spread in primetime since 2012. 22-15-2 against the spread against playoff teams since 2012. Teams that go to the playoffs. They know how to go in there, mix it up with these good teams. I'm not sure the Vikings do. Both of them are playing a lot of close games. Seattle's been playing tougher D, so I think they're actually playing better than the Vikings. And then, of course, you throw in their great home field advantage. -3 says these teams are even. I think Seahawks are slightly better. Minnesota D hasn't been playing that well over the last 6 weeks. Their one good game, they beat up on Washington. It's like, congratulations, you were able to stifle that Dwayne Haskins-led offense. Good job. I think 2.5 is going to be available. I'd hop on Seattle at that point at 2.5. But yeah, Seahawks either way, I just don't love it having to go into Seattle for a primetime game.
Best bet here for me is the over. Neither secondary is as good as you think historically. 49 is very high. That's a lot of points. I think we see Kirk Cousins and Russell Wilson, members of the same draft class, dropped in the draft class, threw it around, slung the ball, tossed it everywhere. And you know what? Screw the narrative. Screw your Kirk Cousins can't win in a big spot stance. Give me Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. They're going to go to Seattle. They're going to win the game straight up, coming off a bye, and establish themselves as the favorites to win the AFC, the NFC North, and suddenly surging potentially even higher as they start the playoff and Super Bowl run. Yeah, you heard it, Pete. Pete, what are your best bets?
Best bets: Packers, Giants over 45.5, Titans +3, Chiefs -9.5, Steelers +2, Jets, Bengals under 41, Seahawks -3, Cardinals +3, and the Cardinals Rams over. That's 7. What does that mean?
You're going to go 5-2?
7-0.
All right, Pete, you are going to leave, and RJ and I are going to finish talking, but you have to go literally have a
Can I give out this thing, though? Warning. If you follow Pete Prisco's picks, you are in trouble. Warning. Just putting it out there.
Alert. We have a sad old man attempting to reverse jinx himself. Call the authorities.
No, they're bad. They've been bad. I've tried everything in my power to reverse it. I can't reverse it. It's dragging me into the abyss.
Whip out that chain or anything. We don't need that.
No, we won't do that.
All right. Pete's going to leave. Unless you can give us a one word statement on the Patriots Texans.
Blowout.
Put it in the parlay.
Well, you like them?
Mm-hmm.
Who you like?
Patriots.
Yeah. Patriots.
Well, Patriots too.
Parlay.
All right, throw in the parlay. Is that our fourth team? We got to get greedy now. We got a lot of. Yeah, we all of a sudden won one. Why do you think it's Patriots -3 at Texans over under 44.5? What's your read on a blowout there, RJ?
Yeah, love the Patriots. Patriots have owned Bill O'Brien. I think they're 5-0, 6-0, something like that. They just destroy them over and over. They're also 17-6 against the spread since 2001 in retractable roof or dome stadiums. They don't get to play there that often. Obviously, being the Patriots, being in a division where they have a lot of outdoor games, so this is a good spot for them. That offense doesn't look bad. Obviously, we harp on Brady doesn't look like the same old, but they play in a lot of good defenses, and Houston's defense is just 26th in DVOA, 31st on third downs, and 32nd in the red zone. This seems like the get right game where everything's going right. Guys are running open. They're not dropping passes anymore. And the Pats offense actually puts up, back into the 30s like they used to. Houston offense ranks just 15th in DVOA. They played a really easy schedule. I think this New England matchup is going to be a wake up call for them. I can understand the line because Houston's a good team. They're leading the division right now. Still feels like way too low of a number to me. I think Patriots roll.
Yeah. I think when you look at the two teams, what's that?
Best bet, Patriots.
I need to double check that I made the Patriots in my picks. I need to look at these NFL expert picks. I'm a little worried when you look at these picks overall, RJ, you can kind of see that there's some clear consensus. Like, everybody is on Tennessee. That's a major red flag. I don't want to talk about the Thanksgiving games because those already happened. Everybody's on the Packers except Dave Richard. That's a red flag. Everybody is on Tampa Bay. That's a giant red flag. Everybody's on the Chargers, and everybody's on the Patriots except Wilson, who has the Texans. That's my only concern. Is I feel like everybody's going to take the Patriots, but it's the Patriots -3. And when you look at what the Patriots did well against the Cowboys, Sony Michel actually ran the ball well. Isaiah Wynn was a huge addition. They're working this Alandon Roberts at fullback thing that's helping their offensive game plan. Inkiel, who I pronounced his name wrong. What is it?
Inkiel, yeah.
Somebody told me I said it wrong. They're going to use him as a red zone weapon and throw that fade with Tom Brady. That's a huge addition. They need that. They've been missing that. You can throw against the Texans. You can run against the Texans. And the Texans want to stretch the field vertically. You can't do that against the Patriots. The Texans' strengths play into the Patriots' strengths. And so I don't think Bill O'Brien's going to be a chess master here against Belichick. I'm with you. I will take the Patriots. Little concerned that I think everybody will be on New England though, right?
Yeah, you obviously want to fade these public plays. You know, the Packers are super public. Tampa Bay is super, super public. And I don't think they've done enough to justify that. Chargers are super public, but they've looked ugly. But then when it comes to the Patriots, they just defy trends. They defy any other, rules you want to put into place because, you know, there's a lot of people that, a lot of sharp players that have gotten, you know, their pockets picked by going against the Patriots because the value just isn't there on the line. And the Patriots just do all the little things right and they win the game easily. You know, they should have covered this last week and that's what screwed me out of an undefeated week. So I'm still bitter about that, but I don't see why it doesn't happen here.
By the way, the Eagles, notable, we talked about them, they're up to 10. So good on me for buying that at 8. What a clown I am for that move. Didn't need that one. Yep, that's right, Debo. I faded the Eagles. I'm a clown. Okay, RJ, we talked Pete's best bets. Pete just mentioned them a second ago, so I'm not going to reread them. RJ, your best bets are?
I got the Bucks-Jags over 48.5. I got the Bengals plus 3.5, going back to the well there. Cardinals plus 3, one of the dumb lines of the week. Steelers plus 2, the dumbest line of the week. And Patriots minus 3.
Okay. And I've got the 49ers plus 6, Bucks minus 1, Browns minus 2, Jets minus 3.5. Oh, boy, that's a lot of road chalk. Chiefs minus 9.5, Seahawks over 49, Bucks over 48.5. You would think, RJ, that I would take it down a notch and play less games with my lead and just kind of grind my way to the end of the season. No, no, no. Foot on the gas, baby. Foot on the gas. That's how you win in this league.
Stack wins while you're hot.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Stack wins. Once I go cold, I'll curl up. And our parlay, Pick Six Podcast parlay, coming off its first win of the year. Yes! We've almost paid it back. Not quite. We need one more. If we hit one more, we should be good for the year. Chiefs minus 9.5. Tampa Bay over 48.5. Cardinals plus 3. Patriots minus 3. That's the 4-game parlay. Concludes on Sunday night. And we conclude this week of podcast. Oh, no, wait, no. I'm sorry. There's another podcast in your feed. Recapping all the Thanksgiving games. Make sure and check that out. Check out our Facebook group as well. And, of course, we'll have the Week 13 recap for the Sunday games on Sunday night, Monday morning for you. RJ, always a pleasure. I'll see you next week. Thanks, bro.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAM model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.